This is Canyon Chronicles, where we talk about archaeology, history, and the cultures of this place. I'm Mike Woodrow, your host today. Scientists debate the timing and emergence and the origin of dogs. Also contested is the date that these incipient dogs became domesticated. Most scientists, however, agree that the animal ancestor that eventually evolved into today's dog diverged from the gray wolf about 130,000 years ago. That's based on high-tech molecular dating techniques. It's clear that these animals who developed to be modern dogs probably looked nothing like the dogs we know today, becoming recognizable in their more or less current form about 20,000 years ago. What are perhaps the earliest remains of paleo dog date from about 31,700 BCE and were excavated in the 19th century at Goyer Cave in Belgium, according to paleontologist Mitier Girnopier of the Royal Belgian Institute of Natural Sciences. My special guest today is Dodie Fugate. Dodie's an archaeologist and a renowned specialist in prehistoric dog burials in the Southwest. Dodie has built a database of over 700 prehistoric burials, and she has served as curator at the Museum of American Indian Arts and Culture in Santa Fe, and worked for years at Archaeology Southwest in Tucson. Good morning, Dodie.
Hi there.
Dodie, how widespread was the practice of keeping dogs and burying them like people when they died?
Keeping dogs has been worldwide as long as we know it. Where you find people, you find dogs. As long as there have been people, there have been dogs together. And in the Southwest and the New World, probably people came with their dogs. And so as long as people have been in the Western Hemisphere, their dogs have been with them.
So how did the dogs get to the Southwest, and what do you think they looked like? I think there were several types you mentioned.
Yeah, there were... I'm sorry to say there were big ones, little ones, and middle-sized ones, but they basically looked like dogs. They did not look a whole lot like wolves. They looked like terriers and, say, border collies, and probably they were spotted, and some of them had curly tails and some of them didn't, and some of them had flop ears and some of them didn't. Some of them were spotted and some of them were marked like say a border collie with a ring around their neck, and some were what we call self-colored, which means that they were all one color rather than being dark on top and light on the bottom like wolves. They came with a little short nose on some of them and a longer regular muzzle on others. The short-nosed ones were called short-nosed Pueblo dogs. I'm sorry, but that's what they were. Some of them were small and stayed around the house, and some of them were larger and probably went out hunting with the guys.
At a practical level, what kind of roles did the dogs play in this time period for the Puebloans and the archaic folks?
Well, they probably played a lot of roles all at once. They cleaned up around the place. They kept a watch in case there were other people around. They kept animals out of the cornfields when there were cornfields. And basically, they kept you warm at night. So they were just about anything you could expect. They hung out with people not so much as probably an individual group of pets. They were people who or animals who hung around with people at all times as a general group that stayed with Native Americans. They were probably keeping the place cleaned up, and at the same time keeping the turkeys out of the corn and the children from falling off the edges of the cliff. Who knows?
Right. Do we have any of the Paleo-Indian or archaic and hunter-gatherers, any burials from that time period that we're aware of here?
Oh, yes, we have lots of them. And indeed, the earlier you find burials with people, you find dogs buried with them. There's a worldwide sort of tendency for people to be buried with dogs at one time or another all over the world, and that is the same here. In the Southwest, we had dogs that were buried with people early on up until the 1400s at least, possibly longer than that. There's a word called a psychopomp. A psychopomp is something that helps you get to the next world. And dogs were probably buried with people to assist them into entering the next world.
And there was a, I believe, a Mexican hairless dog as well?
Oh, yeah. Anybody, any group of people who could manage to get corn out of a small grassy weed called teosinte are probably as good at raising genetic problems or genetic creatures as anybody else. They were able to produce a dog that was very, very extreme and carried what we call a lethal gene, but at the same time they were extremely warm. When you don't have hair, you are extremely warm. And so they tend to have a skin temperature of about 120 degrees. They were used basically as a walking hot heating pad. They were prestige item, but they were also if you had arthritis, you plopped the dog around your neck, and the dog kept you warm, or you placed the dog wherever you were having pain, and the nice warm dog would keep sort of mitigate the pain. They were also used as creatures that were supposed to remove the pain from you and have the pain go into them.
Wow. Well, Dodi, we're going to take a short break here. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Sure.
And we're back. This is Canyon Chronicles. I am Mike Woodrow, and we're here talking with Dodi Fugate about our furry friends, the dogs, and what they've come to mean to us. Dodi, when we talk about dogs and humans, how did people see these critters?
Well, it's very hard to second-guess people who lived that long ago and probably had a completely different mindset than we do today. They probably did not really view them as pets so much as they viewed them as another group of people who lived with them. However, they were very useful out on the plains. They actually did cross dogs with wolves to get a great big sort of grumpy wolf dog that were used by the women as pack dogs. The reason you would breed to a wolf is because you get a much larger, heavier animal, which in prior to the arrival of the horse would have been a main transport animal and pulled travois. In fact, we have excavated dogs out on the plains that have arthritis in the neck and shoulders and back, where they were used as pack animals and animals to pull a travois prior to the arrival of anything bigger that could do that. Here in the Southwest, they probably were seen as just another group that lived with people, with dogs. Undoubtedly, people had individual dogs who might have been their associates or you might say friends, not so much as pets, but as companions to hang around and either go hunting with them, or in the case of women's dogs, here in the Southwest, they were smaller dogs, and we knew they ate a lot of corn and ate a lot of small rodents and creatures. So probably dogs were associated with various groups or families or individuals, but were not considered as pets so much as individuals who lived with them. Probably they had the same association as we have with dogs today, in that there was probably a lot of affection, but they didn't think of them as being individual pets as much as companion people.
So the act of burying a dog, especially with a person, that really tells us something about how they saw them and how many that they had souls.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Prior to the arrival of Europeans, nobody had told anyone that man had dominion over the beasts of the fields and the fowls of the air. So people probably did not think of them as being something that they had dominion over. They probably thought of them as individuals who lived with them and were simply a different type of creature. You might call them the dog people, mm-hmm. or the people who were the dog clan, who lived with them and were very useful. There was a symbiotic relationship where the dogs did things for people and the people did things for dogs. And between the groups, they cooperated. And when dogs were useful in rituals, because dogs were considered to have souls, and indeed possibly to be people who were wearing dog suits, so to speak. And so under certain circumstances, actually around the world, dogs have been associated with the moon, death, guarding entryways, and so you might think that dogs would be buried to guard entryways, and they are in the Southwest. In ritual closure of certain rooms or certain buildings, a dog would be placed down to guard the entries when a place was closed down ritually. They would probably kill a dog and put it in the proper place to guard the entrances to the place as it was closed down. Also, dogs were buried under certain circumstances where they would be allowed to guard, say, the entrances to a pueblo or the entrances to a house.
Lots of backing to and froing on who domesticated who. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, we basically call it coevolution now. Probably way back when people were hunting big game and coming into the into Northern Europe, they watched wolves. Who are very, very cooperative with each other. A pack of wolves have to keep an eye on each other and work in cooperation to hunt big game. And there is some theory that people watched the wolves and learned a great deal about how to get along together. Much of our culture is much more similar to it is to primates. And it's quite possible that we were domesticated by the wolves as much as the wolves were domesticated by us.
So the dogs themselves had specific traits or values, ways of being that were important and respected by the people they lived with.
Absolutely. It's possible that the wolves came over and kept an eye on people who were also hunting the same things, and people learned, I think, maybe learned from wolves a great deal, because wolves are very, very social animals. They cooperate a great deal. They will take care of their pups. They will take care of each other. If a wolf is injured, it's possible that the other wolves will help take care of it. They have been known to adopt other wolf pups if the family of the wolf has been killed. They have been known to be very loyal to each other, and they have been, in fact, they have a number of the traits that we admire greatly in ourselves is more wolf-like than it is like other primates.
In the Mimbres pottery, we will from time to time see depictions of dogs. Can you share some light on what that might have meant?
We're not sure, but it is very nice of them to have done these things so that we can tell how they like dogs. You can tell from these the pottery that people did indeed train dogs. We have depictions of people apparently getting a dog to jump through a hoop. We have pictures of dogs being very happy because people were bringing home food, and we know that the dogs sometimes had white rings around their neck. J.J. Brody, who is one of our really noted archaeologists down here, thinks that they're wearing collars, but I think that they've got a ring around their necks like a collie, as we have indeed found some small black dogs that have that sort of a black white ring around their neck and little white tip on their tails and little white toes. But we see dogs depicted in the Mimbres pottery a lot, and they must have been important enough that they would be reproduced. We also find them in what's called the Mogollon people, of whom the Mimbres are part. They were very popular as small effigies stuck on the ends of pots and drinking vessels. So dogs were important to these people for some reason, and indeed were often buried with people as well.
Wow.
We do know that they had curly tails because the depictions both in the rock art and on pottery, you will find depictions of dogs with curly tails, or tails that are lifted up very, very high, which only dogs can do. Wolves, foxes, other canines do not have a tail that will rise above the level of their backs.
You know, Dodie, this is such a wonderful subject. I could go on and on with it. Unfortunately, the clock's moved, and we're going to have to say goodbye. But I want to thank especially you for being on our program today and for sharing with us all this incredible information about dogs and our relationship with them. This is Mike Woodrow with Canyon Chronicles, and saying goodbye until our next meeting.
Bye-bye.